So far, in our Advent reflections from the Gospel of Luke, we saw that the Bible says in Luke 1:6 that Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's sight. Friends, that beautiful description from God challenges us to make the pursuit of righteousness before God a central part of our lives in this Advent season. Today, we consider some important lessons from the birth of Jesus foretold. Our text is Luke 1:26-38. The Bible says in verses 26 and 27 that in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Friend, Jesus is the reason for this season. And before Jesus came to earth that first Christmas, God told us ahead of time what would happen. In fact, through prophecy, God foretold the birth of Jesus, and prophecies concerning Jesus are 100% reliable. In Genesis, God said that, quote, "the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent." The prophet Isaiah told us, quote, "the people who walk in darkness have seen a great light," end quote. And now, in this passage of Luke 2, we hear the angel Gabriel saying, on special assignment, that he has a special message for Mary. Friends, angels show up many times in the story of the birth of Jesus. The Bible reveals to us that angels are spiritual beings, ministering servants of God, that have intelligence, emotions, and will. This is true of both good and fallen angels that we refer to as demons. Though they have wills, angels, like other created beings, are subject to the will of God. The Bible says that angels are spiritual beings according to Hebrews 1:14. They are without physical bodies, yet sometimes they may actually occasionally take on physical bodies. They are sent by God to help believers. They praise God. They worship God. They rejoice in what God does. They serve God. They appear before God. They are instruments of God used in judgment. And angels help with the answer to prayers. And they also help with winning unbelievers to Christ. Angels are also ministering spirits that encourage us in times of danger. And of course, the Bible says that angels care for the righteous at the time of their death. Friends, you know, the Bible does say that angels show up many times in the story of the birth of Jesus. And somehow, we should be aware that God still sends angels on assignment, special assignment, which is why the Bible says in Hebrews 13:2, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it," end quote. This Christmas, in a post-Melissa context, do remember to show hospitality to strangers. Do not let your overarching concern about your personal security prevent you from making Jamaica a kinder and gentler place. You know, the angel Gabriel went to Mary, who was a virgin and pledged to be married to Joseph, a descendant of David, and he went to her with a special message. According to verse 28 of Luke 2, Gabriel told Mary, "You have found favor with God. The Lord is with you." My friends, favor simply means, quote, "demonstrated delight." The favor of God can be described as tangible evidence that a person has the approval of the Lord. You should know that when someone, you know, finds favor with you, they delight in you, they are connected with you, and of course, you rely on them and you find favor in them and vice versa. And that's what God wants. So much so that the book of Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 2 says, "These are the ones I look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word," end quote. Friends, Mary was chaste. She was a sexually pure young woman. What a contrast to some young women of today. Too many young women go along to get along, and they hardly leave anything to the imagination. But you can learn from Mary and value sexual purity and integrity before God. No matter who you are, God can help you to keep yourself pure in an age where technology makes it easier to sin and hide it. In the message to Mary, Gabriel also told her, "You will conceive and give birth to a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord will give him the throne that is of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendant forever. His kingdom will never end." Note, the child is to be called Jesus. The name Jesus, from the Hebrew, Yeshua, means Yahweh saves, or the Lord is salvation, signifying his divine mission, as distinct, of course, from the title Christ, meaning the anointed one, both of which speaks of Jesus being the one who brings spiritual victory over sin and not just physical rescue. So Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, is humanity's ultimate redeemer. That's why the hymn writer says, quote, "How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ears. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fears," end quote. Another hymn writer appropriately says, "All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all." Friends, Jesus is the Most High God, and it is at the name of this Jesus that every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It is this Jesus who rules and reigns in the universe. His kingdom shall never end. And if you refuse to accept Jesus as your Savior, you will have to face him as your judge in the end. And let me advise you, the Privy Council will not be able to help you with an appeal. What a blessing it was for Mary to have been chosen by God for this great honor, bringing the Messiah into the world. No wonder she was confused and wondered how this would happen, because she had not had any sexual relations before. Thankfully, the angels assured her, quote, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for nothing shall be impossible with God. The angel's explanation is very important because it is a reference to Jesus being born of incorruptible seed, for Joseph was only Jesus' earthly father. It was God, through the Holy Spirit, who superintended Jesus' sinless birth, and only a sinless Savior could die for a sinful world. If all this sounds too good to be true, my friends, remember, it is still a miracle and a mystery how God could become man, 100% man and 100% God. But as we are powerfully reminded, the Bible says in verse 38 of our text of Luke 2, that with God nothing shall be impossible. As we close this morning, you may be faced with an impossible situation. Maybe a terrible medical report, bad news of the tragic death of a friend or a family member. Or you may be separated, going through a divorce. You may be looking up without a roof over your head this morning, not having any money to respond to the challenges with which you are faced. But listen to me. Listen to me, my friends. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord this morning. He is still the God of the impossible. And God is saying to you today, call upon me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. The birth of Jesus foretold reminds us that God's word can be trusted. We must be hospitable, because we may entertain strangers who can very well be angels. Like Mary, we live in a world that is sinful, but we can find favor with God. We can call on Jesus as Savior and Lord, and we can have hope no matter what situation we're in, because nothing is impossible with God. Amen.